that they don't have now. At an initial glance, some of the identified areas throughout the county are the 273 corridor between Route 72 and Salem Church Road, Piles Lane, which is adjacent to the Port of Wilmington with the development of Hamilton Park behind it, the Avon site where Windy Hills abuts the property, Tri-State Mall with buffering for Hickman Road, and Claymont Steel with buffering for the community of Knollwood. Previous purchases for preservation in Newcastle County include sites like Penn Farm in Newcastle, which provides employment while maintaining green space in a more developed area, Rosier Park in Hokesson, which was previous site for several homes, but it's now recreational fields with a leg of the Mill Creek Greenway. That was purchased out of open space money and greenway money in a collaborative effort. Efforts are now underway to protect areas for environmental and recreational potential. From the state's perspective, some of those areas include Blackbird-Millington Corridor in southern Newcastle County, White Clay Creek Watershed Area in Councilman Sheldon's district, portion of Brandywine 100, which is targeted for establishment of a national park, and the coastal zone area. We're going to see some homes taken by sea rise, probably in more the near future than we would like to think. Included in future discussions should be current open space slated for disposition and development, such as the current Woodlawn Trustees property in Brandywine 100. This property fits very well into the open space description under state law, and we should actively address water quality issues associated with the development of this area. We're in the process of updating the UDC, and in fact have a meeting Thursday night at Christiana Fire Hall in Christiana. Correct? Two Thursdays from now, which is a public hearing that we should try to get some notice out on. And while looking at the UDC, is now the time to look at our preservation policies, coordinate with such things as the overlays that are under discussion. Some options that we have in developing open space and or farm preservation programs would be to develop standalone programs by which we as a county could purchase fee title lands as well as easements, partner by providing matching funds to the existing state open space and farmland preservation programs, partner with nonprofit conservation organizations such as Delaware Nature Society and Delaware Greenways, who have done considerable planning for off-road trails and interconnections of urban and suburban areas. In certain areas, this could lead to a reduction in traffic congestion and promote activity. It could provide an opportunity for economic revitalization along the walkways, while it links other resources and ultimately plays into the mindset of the millennials and young active professionals who want quality of life. Areas such as this have had the assistance of state funding over the years, and some examples are the connection between Newcastle and Wilmington Riverfront with a trail and bridge over the Christina River, the connections between the county's Paper Mill Park and the city of Newark, and the Mill Creek Hokesson-Yorkland Greenway with development at each juncture. And we could partner with DelDOT for intermodal transportation projects, including sidewalks between commercial centers and surrounding residential developments and parks. So since we've talked over the last couple of months about farmland preservation and we have placed some money in land acquisition, I think that there are several different areas that we need over the next few months to look at and discuss, and hopefully those go along with some of the work that the Office of Economic Development and the Department of Land Use are doing them. And I think while we're in the process of changing, that we need to kind of put on the table everything that we would like to discuss. I think from here, we can either have some discussion or it might help to move into the next section and let Marcus. Are you presenting anything for Land Use, Sturge?
I am standing in for Ida.
Okay, so who's... So site readiness inventory, that's going to be Marcus.
Well, it's George, actually, but I can speak to, I've been up to updated by Eileen as of a few weeks ago in terms of the requests you've made for the mapping. I'm happy to say that we did put it on our website, the information. And as we move forward with the website redevelopment, you know, obviously we want to have this site compendium available in real time to include that type of information. But your request was fulfilled by land use, and it's on our website currently, the economic development page.
Okay, and do we have
I believe you have a presentation. Is that the Economic Development Plan Initiative?
No, he's doing it.
Economic Development.
Well, we have four. So just to go through the agenda, the next four, the first one of that is Site Readiness Inventory Update.
George, you'll speak to that?
Okay. All right.
Want me to do that?
Yeah, thank you.
So he's got that information.
Point of information, Madam Chairman.
Yes.
Just to recognize I'm at the table.
I'm sorry, Councilman Cartier has joined us. And we have notes from Penrose Hollins and Jay Street that they will not be able to make it today. And possibly Joe Redd will join us later.
Okay. So we're going to do this presentation on March 17th. We can go to the next slide. I was asked to be quick. This is a, you know, kind of a discussion about implementing economic development in Newcastle County. You've seen some economic development plan in October of 2014, an action strategy in 2014 as well. We're looking at trying to incentivize economic development, streamline the development process. These are all things, conversations that we've been having internally and we are underway in trying to expedite job-rich projects, expand the role of a development facilitator, UDC in terms of, you know, look at how the UDC needs to fit and function and focus in relationship to economic development districts, have a site readiness program, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. And on the permitting process, inspections and code, we're trying to put together operational efficiencies, and we are in the process of completing that, and you may be getting that in the next week or so. Go to the next slide. A site readiness, which is what you had asked for. We're in the process of identifying sites available for industrial redevelopment, expediting economic development, and encouraging job retention. So it's not just about looking at new opportunities, it's also about keeping track of the folks that paid attention to you and have lived with you for a long time and making sure that we can do for them. That's a picture of Claymont, I think, in the upper area. Identify appropriately zoned sites. Next picture, next, please. There's North Claymont, and here's some sites that we're just looking at. One of the things we'd have to do once we get these identified is kind of reach out and see who's interested in staying, who's interested in going, who's interested in, you know, redesigning along the way. But we're trying to, you know, do at least a generic look at who's in the neighborhood. Go into the next one, and you can see this is a snapshot of stuff that's on our screens and available. Go ahead to the next one. Yeah. We're identifying appropriately zoned sites. Here's an area, Route 9, south of Newcastle, trying to determine availability and readiness of buildings that may in fact exist and what they could be used or converted into or repurposed for. Go ahead. Okay. And in the site readiness next steps, we're going to continue to identify site areas, compile availability and building readiness information, develop readiness criteria, and promote and market once we have them all, you know, put together. And a big thank you.
Any questions from council, from Mr. Haggerty? Councilman Weiner?
Yeah, just some comments.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for taking on this initiative. I thought your comments were thoughtful, and I look forward to learning more about it.
Thank you. Councilman Cartier?
Thank you. I think when we go looking at the plethora of redevelopment opportunities that are going to happen in North Claymont, looking at the steel mill, Tri-State Mall, and adjacent communities, remembering that, you know, these were sites were developed prior to modern buffering standards, and there certainly is a need. While we want to repurpose these sites and really realize, hopefully, economic development and employment growth, there is a real need to buffer some of the existing communities. I hope, you know, going forward, we really take that on, because while we want to encourage economic and redevelopment, you know, there's adverse impacts that have gone on in these communities because of the way they developed adjacent heavy industry that have gone on for years. So while we implement modern site standards, you know, the buffering is going to be a way that not only we, you know, are able to redevelop the sites and have, you know, job growth and economic growth, but then we actually put in some buffering these communities deserve.
And I want to make a statement about Piles Lane, which was one of the pictures that was up there. And I know that we've all seen, I'm glad that Sharnice is here, even though the councilman isn't, because he'll have heart failure when you tell him that I said this. But I have mentioned it to him with not any response. Looking at Piles Lane, probably 2 years ago, Jim put up on the screen down in council the piles of coal and debris that are across the road from people that live on Piles Lane, and there's approximately 8 houses. In these last 2 years, because this is what I did in my previous job, I have gone into that area with Councilman Street and with Representative Johnson, and we've looked at it, and we have, over the past 2 years, or year and a half probably at this point, have received permission for Representative Johnson to actually erect a fence directly across the street from probably 4 of the houses on Piles Lane. And they had to work very hard to get DLDOT to agree that he could use his community transportation funds for this. But by working through the conservation district, we made it a beautification project. But in talking to Representative Johnson the other day, even though we're going to get this put up and it is going to be some buffering to what their view shed is, that entire row of houses is on the road where all of the trucks come into the port. And it is one constant zoom down that road, because many of them going in don't have loads, and they are just trying to get in as fast as they can, and they're kicking up stones and they're ruining the road. There's no way we can buffer that community from that port. If I had my way, in a perfect world, I would say somehow we go in, we buy up and we relocate the people on Piles Lane, those 8 houses there. Hamilton Park sits behind them. We use where those 8 houses were as the buffer between the port and Hamilton Park, and we help relocate the 8 families that live there now. This is a wonderful, in my dealings with this community, this is a wonderful community, hardworking. They've kept their houses up. The street itself, the houses on that street are great, but they put up with this every day, and there's nothing that we can do to buffer them from what's going on directly in their front yard. So those are things that when I think of what benefits, if we're going to use public funding, what benefit do we give the public in real value, I would say something like that is, if it were me, that is something that I would directly start looking into. Councilman Powers?
I've got just by the presentation now, the beginning it was showing pictures of the whole county, and then it switched to really brownfields. What's the average size of this brownfield?
Of?
Acreage.
Total what, countywide?
No, but each lot, because what the problem has been is most of them aren't big enough. And what was allowed at the time when they were built with no buffers is what it really reduces it down, and that's why they're going into Middletown. If you look at when the red mark, when they brought up one map of Middletown, probably half of it's commercial industrial, shovel ready. And we don't have anything. Go back, the one, yeah, if you take where the blue is Getty, right there. The only piece is, you go over just a little to the left in Councilman Bell's district, is And what's down south of the canal is only the airport, but is a little bit of purple, and that's people's site. And then the next one is all riparian and woods, which is commercial along the railroad tracks. That really, it'll take, how are we filling in wetlands today? So you have industrial property that can't be used as industrial, or it's going to take us forever to mitigate. You know, the other is the Glasgow sites. There's not a lot on there. But if you go down, go to the map that was previous, and you can and see that big red mark in the middle of south of the canal, just north, at least half of that's industrial commercial. No, up. That's Murr.
Right here.
That's Townsend. That's Middletown. From there, almost over, is commercial industrial. So there's no big piece. When you look anything anywhere that big is Wilmington, where you have a lot of different small lots.
You talk about this area here?
Yeah, probably almost half of it to the left is commercial industrial.
Within the incorporated?
In the incorporated area, what I'm saying is there's nothing really in the county that has any, you know, when Amazon came, they needed so many acres, they looked at it, you know, brown fields, they just couldn't fit it on those spots.
And some of our fear, I think, is once we lose industrial land, we're not going to gain it back, because what council is going to turn around and say, oh, we're going to start rezoning to industrial? I don't foresee that happening. And if we're going to bring in some of the higher paying jobs, then we need to think about what industrial we're keeping.
And I agree totally, Councilman Power, sorry. If you take, there's a black line goes straight to Middletown. That's really the railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
To the left, to the right of that, most of that's Whitehall. And they've given a lot of it right along the railroad tracks, Whitehall did to the University of Delaware. And a lot of that should have been commercial, because we're close to 301 and we're close to a rail. We have nothing with rail.
Right.
Of any amount, except Middletown has rail. If they ever want to go into it, it's not going to be that hard to flip it over into there. But I'm just, you know, everybody's wondering why they're going there. You know, if you go south to Smyrna, Smyrna has a good bit of commercial, and the only reason Amazon didn't go to Smyrna is because of the sewer agreement, which now they have a sewer agreement. If you pull that up, pretty much most of that there that's over the county line to the right is commercial, industrial.
Councilman Cartier?
You know, one of the things that we have available now in North Claymont, if you tally up three sites that I know that are available, and there may be more, they have over 500 acres of land that can be redeveloped, and has access to rail, highway, all the private and public infrastructures already in place, adjacent to, you know, the repurposed Sunoco refinery, like tremendous amounts of low-cost natural gas. Let's not forget, we also have the Newport GM assembly plant, which is owned by a Chinese entity now. I don't know what their plans are. Doesn't seem like there's anything going on, but that certainly is another very significant site with plenty of infrastructure, you know, support, redevelopment, rail, road, etc. So we do have, as a result of the, you know, shift in the economy in Newcastle County, you know, huge opportunities opening up in the unincorporated Newcastle County repurposed sites and redevelop.
Councilman Taffin?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, also, I think the problem that we run into many times is that, you know, we can't select the sites that these companies go. They're going to select their own sites for the individual reasons they're going to select them for. You know what I mean? And up on the one site there, the one they pulled it up, I've got a site in Glasgow that, you know, has already over 1 million square foot approved, sits on a W. L. Gore site that they never planned to build on. So that's sitting there ready to go. It's right off, you know, Major 896, 95. It's got rail to it, you know, as I think Councilman Powers alluded to down there, 71 and 72. Peoples has a huge area back through there, you know, with some area. It has rail to it. It's right off Route 1. So, I mean, we do have some, you know, spots around here. So, but we can't pick them for them. You know, they're coming in and they're...
But part of what came out of the economic development study was that we have a horrible website. That we, somebody from the outside coming and looking in does not know what we have. Where if we had an inventory on there, it was some mapping and saying what services were available to that area, they might have a better chance of looking at us. But without that, we're just not, we're not getting the number of people coming because we're not touting what we have.
Well, I think to a degree that is true, but I mean, if you look back on our history when we went into that Aberdeen situation, I think we had a tremendous website. We had tremendous brochures. We had tremendous pamphlets, but we only drew just a very few amount of people up here for that. So I think it's all given the situation.
Right. I don't want to get into this discussion, but I would have to argue how real the whole Aberdeen thing was. Councilman Weiner.
Thanks. One of the issues you identified was a threshold issue of community acceptance, and I hope that when the Land Use Department partners with us and Economic Development as well, that we look at the community's opposition to having old code industrial butting up against residential. It's the reason why zoning code was established initially was to space industrial away from where people lived because of health reasons, and now with industrial being more clean, we can begin to integrate the different uses, but they need to be more user friendly in terms of architectural excellence, quality of design, construction materials, how they interface. And it's very possible when we look around the country, if we begin to get away from the greatest institutional impediment, I'll say two, there's old codes, and then I'll say the fire marshal's office when they don't realize that roads don't need to be as wide as two fire engines. You can make the fire engines fit walkable communities. You can scale the communities to be walkable, bikeable, and then bring the fire trucks down to smaller size. You take a look at Old Town Middletown or Old Town Newark or what Claymont used to be, and it's all walkable, bikeable. It's brought down to scale using geometrics that or form-based zoning or smart code, whatever you want to call it, that was by its very nature the way every herb or hamlet was done for 5,000 years before the advent of suburban sprawl. So I hope that we can begin to take a look at using the tools of form-based zoning and smart code to design mixed-use, more walkable communities where folks don't mind having the commercial or light industrial within walking distance, so that, as I've always, my mantra has always been, so that we can live in a place where we can live, shop, work, play without using our car in an area that is designed for the new millennials. Actually, if you add up the four segments, millennials, boomers, the elderly, and new Americans, we actually make up more than 50% of the population. But our code, you know, tongue in cheek, they'll throw us in jail if we try to build a walkable community. It's, you know, we're designed more for large lot McMansions, or at least we're getting away from that because the market's voting with its dollars. But we still haven't made the shift, and we've been told to be patient with the Land Use Department and reworking the UDC. But I think we've come a long way. We're ready to accept the changes that the Land Use Department's going to lead us to, and I think there's trust now between Land Use and this County Council. We're just anxious to get started. I'm very happy to see Economic Development Committee being used as a tool because we can do more of a think tank here than we can oftentimes in Land Use Committee, which is more structured just to hear the applications.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could Mr. Boyle kind of bring that back out, the farmland preservation options? I wanted to just take a look at something here, maybe in a little bit further. Okay. When I look at this, it's farmland preservation options, and I'm kind of wondering whose options they are when I look at who provided that information, Delaware Audubon. Is that the state of Delaware? Is that Newcastle County land use? Quite frankly, I'm not sure that I see up there pending options as far as the properties that we're even considering to possibly preserve. And I know we've got work to do, but at the same time, if we're whose options are these farmland preservation options? I would want to see farmland preservation options from a county, state, federal perspective, not Delaware Audubon.
Well,
and I just bring that up because it concerns me, because they seem to be a little adversarial when it comes to state and other governments, and so I have some concern as to what does that identify, who identified those options.
Well, if you can read down on the disclaimer, it tells who identified them. We did this through the University of Delaware with a map that the Audubon Society had to start with, and added it's going to be down on the bottom of the map, in the bottom, yeah, down there. And it tells up on top some of them, like the unprotected land. The closest overlay they could get was from 2009.
Okay.
So we did this through the University of Delaware with a base map that they the Audubon Society
That's provided. Fair enough. I guess my point is that if we're going to look at options and options that we're even discussing today, and it's not on the map, it would seem to me that possibly our land use in the state of Delaware and the federal government who we're partnering with would have some sort of up-to-date map, not from 2009. But it just raised some concern in my mind because, you know, we have folks that come in and they like to speak to council about how they see things proceeding in the future and what should be preserved, what should not be preserved. But big as day, I mean, it's got the organizational name on there, and I've read and noticed, and we've even been alerted to the fact that they sometimes are adversarial to the state and may in fact become adversarial to this county. So I just bring that up as a point of point of interest.
And if you look at the bottom, I know it's not big now, but there's probably
I have a hard enough time seeing the bigger
letters. and state. I mean, it's verified on the bottom in the data source where the overlays came from.
For reference's sake, we're going to send each one of these just for the record out to each county.
Right. That's fine. Yep. Thank you. Okay,
Thank you.
Permitting and licensing procedures update. Who's doing that?
As long as we know it.
It's all right. Can we do that initiative for the next hearing?
Sure.
Okay, if you don't mind.
Yep. Empowerment zone update?
Yeah, I'll talk to that.
Okay.
Where should I?
Okay, in the hall.
I'll go in the hall. I like the hall. Good afternoon. Marcus Henry, Economic Development and Policy Director. Councilperson Kilpatrick, I liked your presentation very much, and I'd like to work with you personally on some of the details of that. I think you're on to a lot of important initiatives that we need to look at as a county government, so I want to commend you on your presentation.
Thank you.
In terms of empowerment zones, enterprise zones, we've been talking about that for several months. There's a recommendation from our economic development plan. We're going to move forward on that. We have a draft ordinance in place for enterprise zones, empowerment zones I should call it. What I'm excited to say is that we're working with the state now as of last week to add in their incentives for these empowerment zones. Specifically, the first one looking at is Route 9 corridor, and they're excited about that, and what I would like to do is present the draft legislation at the next committee meeting, if that's okay. We're talking about specific tax credits and other types of incentives around incentivizing for new development, business retention in these areas. So we'll, I can even probably have somebody from DITO here as well at our next meeting, if that will be helpful.
Councilman Smiley.
Quick question, Bill.
Yes, sir.
When you say Route 9 corridor and working with the state,
mm-hmm.
are we talking from Memorial Drive into the city of Wilmington, or are we talking to Old Newcastle and beyond?
We're talking about the area in and around the Route 9 library, proposed library.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, that defined area, and I can bring
the shrunken corridor.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent size, but
Not like it was.
Okay. If you'd like, I can present that map that we're talking about in terms of the area. I'm happy to email that to you after this hearing, just so we're clear. But it's exciting. I think it's important, obviously, that we involve the state and other governments in this when we do this type of overlay to provide those incentives. And the states, they told me unequivocally that they're very supportive of this. And so I'll present it next month.
Great.
Okay. Any questions or?
Any questions from council? From the public? Economic Development Plan Initiatives update?
Just a few quick updates. One, the website. We decided to move forward on RFP for that service. I'm working with our procurement office and Tony Gardner to put an RFP out for the web redesign specific to economic development. I'm happy to share that with council before it goes out if they like. But, you know, both the recommendation from our plan, and we're hearing from the public, and councilman said earlier, you know, we need to improve the website in terms of utility and availability of data for the public and for our uses as well. It's specifically important as we deal with inventory compendium to have that available, and we feel the website would be the best avenue to have it available. And also working with various other groups to provide real-time information in terms of the current status of some of this property. So I'll continue to work with our land use department and other folks to make sure that's up to date. So in 2 weeks, we'll have the RFP. I'm happy to forward that to council for their review.
Thank you.
Okay.
Questions from council? From the public? Anything under other? Public comments?
Motion to adjourn at 2:35. For the record, we're short on batteries.
Yeah, I know. I caught that. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.